How's it going, guys? I'm Jeff.
I'm Alyssa.
And welcome to the Love That Lasts podcast, where we talk about faith, culture, and answer your questions. Stay tuned.
Okay, guys, so Jeff just gave me the hardest time.
Whoa, did you just take over the intro? I wasn't ready for that. I did,
because Easter was wonderful, and my mom made this amazing cake, and we hosted Easter at our house, so we got all the leftovers, yes. And so we have cake in our fridge, and I just needed a little bit of cake before the podcast, and he was making fun of my chewing.
Guys, she didn't need a little bit of cake before the podcast. It's still literally right there in front of her with a fork, and she was got done I'm chewing. Done. You got done chewing maybe like 30 seconds ago.
Okay, but I knew I was going to be done.
And guys,
does anybody else need a little tidbit before they work?
I mean, I hear you, but like we're doing audio, and I feel
and
like
I wasn't going to chew while I was on the podcast.
I know, but let the people know though that I have headphones in so I can hear everything really, really closely, and you were just dropping the smacks for
whatever.
Days.
This cake is so good.
Smacks for days.
Anyway, just an insight into pre-podcast.
Yes. Guys, we hope we're having a great week wherever you're listening. It was fun last week. I think you guys let us know where you're listening. Someone was at work with headphones on. You know, people were working out. There's a lot of people, I think, driving. So that's cool. Yeah, we're excited to be back. A couple thoughts. We want to get to your guys' questions. It'll be a shorter episode this week. But first, I want to talk about I actually sent out an email this week about it. And it was also just what I mentioned briefly. When we had Easter over, it was only like 15 seconds when people are over, but I feel like it was something that I've just been thinking on where, you know, I was just thinking on Easter, and so many times I think Easter gets centered on, you know, a couple things. I think Easter gets centered on, like an apologetic resurrection. And what I mean by that is, you know, apologetics in regards to proving Christ of like the resurrection's all about Christianity must be true. Now that is true. I think there's obviously enormous impact to the fact that, you know, either he raised from the dead or he didn't. And if he raised from the dead, then he's the right, truthful king of the world. What were you going to say?
Rose from the dead.
Yes. But that sometimes usually takes the lion's share of the impact of Easter, or it's like the resurrection is all about our personal salvation and giving us new life. Now, again, that's true too. But I think one underappreciated part of the resurrection that we don't talk about enough is the fact that the resurrection was kind of like, theologically speaking, these first fruits. There was actually a feast of first fruits in the Torah, so it's this biblical concept. But Jesus' resurrection was actually this first fruits of new creation, meaning what happened to him at the resurrection, God said and proved that this was going to now happen for not only everyone else who trusts in this king, but also the creation itself, which is what Romans 8 makes the argument of. And I just think one thing I don't think we realize is because he's the first fruits, and what was crazy about Jesus' resurrection, guys, is that in the first century, at least, most people, you know, outside of the Sadducees, believed in resurrection of the dead. Mm-hmm. They just believed it was all going to happen at the end of time, that everyone would die and that God would kind of, you know, raise the righteous at the end of time. And then that would bring in the new dawn and the new age of, you know, his kingdom reigning and ruling. But Jesus did something crazy in that he actually rose in the present. It was still this old age in some sense, right? Like earth was still decaying and hurting, and it wasn't, you know, and not everyone rose at once. It was just Jesus. And so I think what's cool about that is it shows that God kind of ripped the resurrection future into the present. That Jesus kind of says, okay, it's not, because theologically speaking, there was this worldview, and a lot of people still think this, that there was like these two ages. There was the age we were living in and what was theologically called the age to come. And it was like those were two very stark ages with a full brick wall in between the two. Where you're in one age and then you're in the other. But the resurrection of Jesus kind of showed that these actual ages overlap, that we're still in the current age, but also the age to come has also invaded the present and current age. And I think what's cool is we don't sit in those implications. And one of those implications is that Jesus actually, it says in Romans, became a new Adam, or a new father of humanity, where he's actually creating a new line of people, and anyone who trusts in him actually gets, you know, wrapped up and reoriented into this new family. that are considered resurrected people, people that, you know, are people of the future. And I think that's a fun way to think about it, is that if you trust in Jesus, you're a person from the future, meaning the what God is going to do at the end of time, what heaven is going to look like with full unity, full love, no sin, people serving each other, loving each other, worshiping together, praising the Lord, reigning and ruling in his kingdom. We are people of the future, and that we get to actually bring all of that stuff into the present now, and we get to live as if that's true. And that's why people reoriented around the resurrection, and now all of a sudden gender barriers got squashed, ethnic barriers got squashed, etc., because they realized the resurrection created this new family and this new people. And so, yeah, I just wanted to share that one little nugget with you guys. I feel like that's just something that I'm always thinking of, is, do you believe you're a person from the future? Do you believe that you're actually part of, if you've trusted Jesus, you're part of a family of the future, and you have an opportunity with your friends that love the Lord, with your parents, with your community, to actually show a new way of doing life, a new way of being human. You get to show a new humanity to the world. And I think that's something that's usually underappreciated about the resurrection, as that kind of put that into motion, which I think is really, really awesome. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I started preaching.
No, I love it.
Oh, thanks, Boo.
Yeah.
I actually want to keep talking, guys, but real quick, I want to share about this week's sponsor. This week's sponsor is Easy Kicks. And if you don't know them, they're incredible. We've talked about them before because, like, you know, if you have kids, kids grow out of shoes every 5 seconds, and it's super annoying because they cost the same as adult shoes and they wear them for about 5 minutes. But the cool part is with Easy Kicks, what they do is kids can wear their shoes as long as they want. And once they're wrecked or too small, or they want a new style, all you do is you send your shoes back in a prepaid shipping envelope, and then they actually donate them to a nonprofit partner. And the cool part is you can send your shoes back to Easy Kicks in any condition that your kid had them in. They can be dirty, wrecked, full of holes, or decent condition. And it's cool because they let kids be kids, and the shoes you send back are donated to a nonprofit. If they're in great condition, to foster kids, and if they're wrecked, they actually get recycled through the Nike Grind program. And each shipment comes in a personalized box with fun stickers for the kids. And it's only $20 a month per child. And there's no limits to how often you can swap for a new pair. It's a really, really cool concept, and I think super disruptive to the industry. And they're actually an official partner of Nike, so they release a new style each week. No catches, no hidden fees, and you can cancel anytime. So go to easykicks.com/join now and use the discount code EZLISTEN. That's the letter E, the letter Z, and the word listen at checkout for $5 off on your first month. Again, that's easykicks.com/join now. Discount code EZLISTEN. But yeah.
That always reminds me. Remember in The Proposal when they're... which is one of my favorite movies.
Best movie ever.
And Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds are in the room together at night, and they're like connecting, and then they sing the song. Is it Easy?
Is it? Da-da-da-da. I actually don't remember that part, even though it's like one of my favorite movies. I'm blanking.
I'm like trying to think of the song. It's so funny.
Guys,
anyway,
if you haven't seen The Proposal, tell them about all the rom... You've been on a rom-com hit lately. Tell them about all the ones you watched, and then tell them about Heartland.
Okay. Well, actually, I can't remember all the ones I watched. I just was on the Hallmark app, and so I was watching a lot of those. But I guess I did watch some on Amazon, too, which is really sad. I don't even know which ones I've been watching. But I just started watching this series. It might be on Amazon, but it's definitely on Netflix, and it's called Heartland. And I'm sure a lot of you probably already know about it, but maybe you don't. I always see it in the Netflix queue, but I've never heard of it. And I started watching it this last week, and I've already finished 2 seasons. It's my favorite show of all time, which is saying a lot because we watch some really good shows. But it takes place in Canada. And it's on a ranch, and they have horses, and horses, like, they heal horses, and but it's a lot of character development, and it's so, so, so good. And I think the thing I love most about it is that it's just really clean, but not so cheesy that it's painful.
It's like that perfect middle ground where it's wholesome, but not just cheeseball central.
Yeah, and so I, like, feel encouraged by it. I just love the character so much, and I feel like you can binge watch it. Like, so much binge watching because it is so wholesome. So it's
can
not
you?
Like,
do you have any experience with that?
Yeah. Okay. Let's just say I've been up past midnight a few nights this week, which never happens. I'm usually in bed at 10 asleep. So anyway, highly recommend it. It's my favorite. And I feel like nobody has seen it, so I can't talk about it with anybody. So if you've seen it, let me know so we can talk about it.
guys.
So good.
Okay, let's get to some of your guys' questions. We'll try to...
That's all I have to offer after the resurrection conversation. No.
Well, it's just funny because I was just thinking about what's like most pertinent in our lives right now. And that's just what I was thinking about. And that's what you've been thinking about.
It's true. Okay, here's the thing. I was thinking about this. We're not like really big TV people. We try to stay off of our phones.
No screens for the kids. No movies really for the kids. We don't have cable. We've maybe watched collectively 5 or 6 shows.
Yes.
Our whole marriage.
So it's not like a big thing for us. But I will say I've just started in the last like year really enjoying a good story. And so I feel like if it's a movie or a book that can bring you into a really good story, like go for it. Enjoy it. Like get into the story, because I feel like God is a God of story. Totally. And so, you know, he wants us to enjoy stories and to learn how to tell a good story. And anyway, I just love it.
No, totally. Well, I even have a little side nugget on that. I feel like, even talking about screens in regards to kids or adults or whatever, I feel like, the iPhone, the phones and the computers and I think those are more of a detriment than TV. For that reason, I think, you know, we don't watch TV, don't have cable, but what I'm saying is specifically film. Like I really, really enjoy cinema and film and the narratives that it tells and how they get into your zeitgeist and your kind of your thought process. And you start to get wrapped up in these characters when, you know, Facebook and Twitter or whatever, those aren't narratives that are drawing you up into some grand story. It's just like distraction central. So,
but I just think it's cool to like be wrapped into a really good story. And then also like today, all I can think about is Heartland because it makes me so happy, but I'm thinking about the story, and I think that's okay sometimes. Like it's okay.
I think it's more than okay. I think we're wired for story. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the more we learn about story, the more we can tell better stories.
Totally. No, I totally agree with that. That's why Pixar is like, they're some of the best storytellers in the world.
Yeah.
And they move you. Really good stories move you. So, all right, we're going to hit the questions. The first one is from Maria. Can Alyssa do a segment where she talks about her mommy routine with the kids? I would love that. And it would be so helpful for other mommies.
I mean, sure.
So yeah,
next,
as a mom, do you want to soon? Just, well, no, I mean like just do a little like couple minutes. Like what's a daily routine with the kids look like as a mom? How do you kind of envision what you're trying to accomplish in the day in regards to their hearts and the vision for the day?
Well, I have a lot of growing to do in this area. I'm definitely not an expert, and I'm not a very structured person. Like I'm right. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
I'm not like a type. I'm not a type A.
No, not at all.
I'm like a type B. And so...
type C.
Type C. So it probably looks different for me. But and my kids are really little. It's not like we're in school or homeschooling yet. And so some weeks are different. Some weeks it's like our week is busy and it's scheduled, so I have to plan things, or I feel really motivated, or... I'm just doing really well where I could be like, okay, on Monday I'm going to have a really special date with sis. And on Tuesday the three of us are going to go do something really special that I know that they're going to love. And then, you know, so it just looks different, different weeks, different seasons, and what we're doing in our lives are different, where it's more project based. So it's not like we have the same routine every day in and out, but it's more, we take our lives like week by week or month by month. So, but on a typical day, we'll get the kids up about 8. So they wake up about 7:30, but we leave them in their rooms. They really like that time.
Yeah, we give the kids a lot of margin by themselves, and that's very intentional.
It is intentional. And I feel like they like that time. And so we get them, we have breakfast together. We're trying to like read a Bible story during breakfast And then depending on that morning, we may do a family day and go do something in the morning from like 9 to 12. Or maybe it's the day where we stay home and it's like chore day and, you know, making like prepping stuff. And I try to involve the kids as much as I can. Maybe it's going to get groceries, whatever it is. It's kind of like the main thing that we do is from 9 to 12. And sometimes I'm really intentional about it. And then sometimes it's like, okay, we're just going to stay home and play all day. And I think the main thing for me is I'm just learning to be intentional with the kids, to put my phone away while they're awake, so I'm not distracted or anxious, and to just kind of like be, and I try to be available. So even on those days where it's like, hey, mommy has a lot of things to do, if my kids are kind of falling apart, then it's like, okay, I need to just
chill.
I need to like put this aside. This is not as important. My kids' hearts are most important. And so
you're really good at putting
focus on that.
Yeah. You're really good at putting space in the day so that, if it's a bad day, you can kind of just switch it up.
Yeah. Rather than that's what I try to do.
Yeah. Or, which is awesome.
And so like, I think it's really good to do the things you need to do while the kids are awake so that when they're sleeping, you can actually have a break or be with your husband or do something that you really enjoy doing. But on those days where the kids really need you, then, or like it's just not working doing all the chores with them, then it's like, okay, we're going to, I think it's just having an open hand as a mom and being like, okay, we're going to switch this up. And, and I think the Lord did that a lot. Jesus, he was able to be interrupted
even while he was on his way to something specific.
Yeah. And he wasn't frustrated about it. And so that's what I'm learning and I'm trying to do. And so then we have lunch and the kids, take a nap from like 1 to 3 and Sis doesn't really nap anymore, but we just put her in her room and, as long as she has quiet time. So she'll read, she'll play with her babies, she'll do Legos. And that gives us an opportunity to have a break. And then when they wake up, it's just kind of like hang out and dinner. We try to always have dinner together. And maybe we'll go for a walk or do just something family oriented. And I think the main things that have changed it lately is just putting my phone away when they're awake. And that helps me to be available and to know their hearts better and to be able to be interrupted and not to over schedule ourselves. And I know my kids are really little, so it's not like they're in a bunch of sports or a bunch of things, but I have had to say no to a lot of things. And I think it's been really good for our family to just kind of simplify and so anyway, that's kind of a long answer, but that's exactly kind of what we do in a day.
That's so good. Hey guys, I wanted to take a quick break out of this week's episode and let you know about one of our favorite sponsors, and that is Casper. That's this week's sponsor. If you don't know Casper, they're a sleep brand that makes expertly designed products to help you get a better rest one night at a time. And I absolutely love them. I've experienced their products. They're cleverly designed to mimic human curves, and so they provide support and comfort for all types of body. And like they even say, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so it should be comfortable. And my favorite part is doing your research. You actually will realize that with over 20,000 reviews, they have an average of 4.8 stars across Casper, Amazon, and Google. So clearly, people absolutely love them. They have a couple different options, the Wave and the Essential mattress. And on top of that, it's delivered right to your door in a small, how did they do that size box with free shipping and returns in US and Canada. So I want to hook you guys up. If you go to Casper, Casper.com/Jeff and Alyssa, and you use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa, you will get $50 towards select mattresses. And so again, to get $50 towards select mattresses, visit Casper.com/Jeff and Alyssa and use the promo code Jeff and Alyssa. And you can be sure of your purchase because Casper has a 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. And it's incredible. And I love them. So make sure to check them out and back to our show. All right, guys. So this one is from Sean. It says, how do you partner with the local church to raise your kids to know Jesus? What does that relationship look like? Do they complement each other? And if so, how intentional is it? Really good questions, Sean. I think a lot of times, you know, now hear me say without a shadow of a doubt that the ecclesia, the called out people, the body, you know, the family of God, the church is one of God's vehicles to bless the world, put it back together, and turn the world upside down and spread the message of Jesus. But I think that happens primarily through a bunch of little families. And obviously people who are not married and don't have families. But I think it, one of the big chunks of that, the way that happens is by multiplying, by having babies, by creating babies that are on mission and having a direction with your marriage, et cetera. And so what I mean by that is I think a lot of times, we do a disservice to our family when we outsource the job of training our family, of loving our family, of teaching our family God's heart, God's vision, God's scriptures, when we outsource that to like a program at church. Now, I don't think that's wrong, but if you think that the church is going to, and I mean, when I say the church now, I mean like the building, the Tuesday night at 7:30 thing. If you think that's going to be the primary way to raise your kids, then I think there's just actually a ton of data that shows you that that doesn't end well. That's why a lot of kids leave the church. I think the primary teacher and the primary way to raise kids, the primary influencer is the parents. And I think, so I think not getting burdened or pressured by that, but actually realizing that's a gift, that's a blessing, that you get to pour into your kids and you get to show them how to follow Jesus. You get to let them ask you questions. You get to teach them by fun examples. And I think a lot of times we think it's the youth pastor's job when it's like, no, no, the youth pastor gets your kid for 1 hour a week. You get your kid for 160 hours a week. So obviously, you know, you're going to have a bigger influence. And so now I think those programs are great for people who don't have a safe home or a safe landing place or need a place to go to get encouragement and love and teaching. And it's a great supplement. That's a good way to put it. It's a good supplement. But yeah, so I think you partner with the local church, meaning like you partner with community to be a bigger family. So it's like you're your own unit, you're your own family, you're the nucleus, you guys, to teach, to love the Lord, to be on mission together, to be this team. And then outside of that, these other called out people, these resurrected people, these family of God, the people you do life with, that you take communion with and that you've been baptized with, those are your accountability. Those are other mentors to your kids. Those are people that they get to look up to and get discipled by and trained by. But yeah, so that's what I think the relationship looks like. But would you add anything?
What was the question again?
How do you partner with the local church to raise your kids to know Jesus?
Yeah, I think also, on a practical level, I think that looks different for each family and where you're at and what you're doing and where you live and what your church looks like. For us, we have a small group that meets every Thursday and it's just the adults. But then once a week or once a month, we do like a family dinner with all the kids and we'll do beach days and stuff. And so I feel like that's been really cool. I feel like those are our kids' best friends and they love having them over. And I think we host a lot. And so we have gatherings and our kids are, you know, just so excited to have all their friends over and learning how to host and how to share all these things. And so for us, that's kind of the main way that we're doing it. Our other friends really have a heart for children's ministry at the church and they really feel called to be a part of that. And so their kids are a part of it too. Like they come to every service with them and so it's just kind of, and they're serving together. And so I think it looks different for each family, but yeah, that's what I would add.
That's really good. That's really good. Let's see if we can find one more. Real quick, Christian, this won't be the last one. Christian said, any quick book recommendations you have? We always like to talk about books. And what's any last one you've read or no, just Heartland?
Well, the other one I talked on last week. So yes, all I've been doing is Heartland this week.
Okay.
Did you have any books? You just posted about them yesterday.
Yeah, The Gift of the Jews. Really, really would highly recommend that book. Great, great book. It's basically, it's part of this scholar. His name is, I think, Thomas Cahill. Yeah, he has this series called The Hinge of History, and it's seven books. One's on the Irish, then there's some on the Jews, and then there's some on the Greeks, and just how, like, basically these people, how they turned the world upside down or changed it in a really dramatic way, and how the Jews actually pretty much gave us our entire moral code and system before then. Before them, the world was a lot different. We even have, you know, our concept of time as this thing that marches forward where there's a present and a future. They were the first ones to really show that in our history. Before then, it was a more cyclical nature. Yeah, so we're just really, really, really cool, and especially to tie it to the scriptures and see those same things. So I don't know if you guys can hear Aslan barking, but I think the mailman's here.
I don't think they can. No, it was a plumbing.
It was a plumber?
Yeah.
Oh, Kimberly said, do you have any tips for college? That's it. Oh, no. P.S. Your work has ministered so much to me. Love you guys. Oh, thanks, Kimberly.
Do you have any tips for college, babe?
No. Do you? You were the one that was summa cum laude or magna numa laude or whatever.
You have tips. Tell them your tips.
You tell them your tips.
Okay, so I would say, I mean, that's a very broad question, but I would say just take advantage of everything that you can.
Yeah.
You're single, you are in college, it's just an exciting time. And so, go to class, learn what you want to learn, go away for the weekend to the Grand Canyon, go to the basketball games, like go on the mission trips, just do whatever you're excited about. Mm-hmm. And because this is kind of the time to like do all your adventures, and not that it dies forever when you get married, but just like it changes when you get married and you have kids. And so it's a really exciting season. And so you know, make those lifelong friends, invest in friendships. And then on another level, I think it's a, for me, I grew up as an only child, so I didn't have any sisters or brothers, but, college was really cool because you're living with like 20 other people.
Yeah.
And so just take advantage of those relationships and learn to be a good friend, learn to be vulnerable with people and like do life with people. Let them in, see who you really are and let them speak into your life. And, so yeah, that's kind of, it's just an exciting time. So yeah. That's what I would say.
Kimberly, that's a good question. And we'll end with this. I'll say everything Alyssa said, it's the most free you'll ever be with the least amount of responsibility you'll ever be. And kind of in this almost like, neutral like state of like, where you get to just work on yourself. So I would say work on yourself, take advantage of those 4 years of learning everything you can, becoming an adult in all ways that you can, putting yourself under mentorship in all the ways that you can. And the one thing I would say too is make sure you get out of the college bubble. Don't just be friends with people your age, but try to find a church you can plug into where you get to go have dinner with an older couple once a month, or you get to go serve, you know, through your church's homeless ministry, et cetera. I think get out of the college bubble. And that also goes hand in hand with you're also so free and you have no responsibilities in the sense of you can actually give your time and your energy to so many things and so many people, and you'll see a lot of fruit and blessing from that. So, all right, guys, I think that's all we got this week. Loved it last another week, another day, another dollar. Hope you guys are having a good week. We hope you go crush it this week. Dominate life. Let us know where you're listening and we'll see you later.